Hey everyone, my name is Mac, and welcome back to Master of a Few, the podcast where the curious mind meets too much time. How are we all doing today? Good? Great? Brilliant. It's been a couple weeks, since I've recorded. Been having trouble finding inspiration lately, for all of my creative projects, which is kind of driving me nuts, but it's also been the story of my life for the past, like, 2 years, so it's fine. But wanted to get back on here today because I found something I wanted to talk about, and it's a little different than I have. That was not a sentence. It's a little different than the other topics that I've talked about, because today I want to talk about good things, and not just good things in general, though there are lots of them. Good things about the way I grew up, and good things that I do miss, or let me phrase it as things that I miss about fundamentalism, about the way I grew up, about the church I grew up in, about all of those things. And I want to do this for two reasons, because in the past I've talked a lot about the things that I don't miss, about the toxic parts, about the way those relationships really came back to bite me in a lot of ways, and things like that, and all of that is still very true. But I want to talk about this for a couple of reasons. One, because it is dishonest to say that I did not enjoy the way I grew up for a long time. It's dishonest to say that I'm not thankful for a lot of the things that I learned, and a lot of the passions that were really inspired and developed in me because of growing up in fundamentalism. And also that I gained some really, really important relationships and friendships out of fundamentalism and Southside and whatnot. So it'd be dishonest to say that it was all bad anyway. And also because I think that whenever somebody leaves a toxic situation, or especially in this case, a toxic church environment, it's really easy to only talk about the bad things and therefore sort of create this otherworldly monster of the church, particularly that type of church. And that doesn't do anyone any good. Because what that does is it creates this untouchable monster that you can't do anything about that. If something is completely, completely evil and completely and completely wrong, then there's nothing you can do about it. And I don't think it's incurable. I was once talking to somebody a couple of years ago, and he told me that he thinks that fundamentalism is a cancer. And in one way, I agree with him. That it kills you from the inside out. That it is a disease, and that it ultimately leads to death. I agree. But the part that I don't agree with is cancer, at the moment, is pretty much incurable. And I don't think that's true of fundamentalism. Now, do I think it needs to be eradicated? Yes, I don't think it can be rehabilitated. I don't think that's possible. But I don't think it's incurable. So, I wanted to talk about the good things, because I think it is really important that we keep in mind that fundamentalism, for all of its dangers, for all of its faults, for all of those things, is in existence because it is made up of people. Fundamentalist churches, Southside, exist of people, which means that it is both good and bad, because that's what people are. So I wanted to talk about the good things, because I don't want to create this, like, massive undefeatable monster, because that just gives it too much power, you know? So, some of the good things. I wanted to talk about this because I've been reflecting a lot on it lately, and and where I would be had I not grown up the way I did. And I don't know that answer, obviously, because I gained a lot of things from growing up fundamentalist that I wouldn't have had otherwise. First of all, and this is kind of a really, like, blatant one, is I don't think that I would be studying the Bible in my education, in my career aspirations. I don't think I would be doing the Bible because it's because of fundamentalism that, like, I have a ridiculous amount of the Bible memorized. It's because of fundamentalism that I care so much about the Bible because I was raised that way. I was raised to believe that the Bible was my guidebook for living, so you better know it. And I was it was incentivized to learn your Bible, and I didn't just do it for the incentives. I also just really, really love it. That's a passion I have, but, like, that's a hard passion to foster in a kid who has so many different interests. But because it was so valued and so incentivized, I stuck with it. And I learned a ton about the Bible, and when it finally came to the point where I couldn't jive my literal reading of the Bible that I was taught with what I knew of the world and what I was learning about the world and about myself and about God, I loved the Bible so much that I couldn't just throw it out. That I couldn't just turn my back on it and say, you know what, I don't even believe in it anymore. I don't even believe in it. I couldn't do that. I had to study more. And I don't think that would have happened had I not grown up with such a love for Scripture. I don't think it would have happened. Not even to mention a love for God. I was always raised to believe that that is a relationship that you have to work on, that you have to commit to. And even though I view that relationship differently now, it's still a relationship to me. I have a relationship with God, even if I think about God differently, even if I think about the nature of that relationship differently. Like, the fact that it's a relationship hasn't changed. And I think about all my relationships differently than I did, in a much more healthy way. And that has just transferred over to my relationship with God. And I think that that is really, really special, because even though I've gone through this whole process of redefining what I think about most things in my faith, my love for God, my love for Scripture, and my belief in working on that relationship hasn't gone away. And that is really, really important to me. And I'm really thankful for that. I have also learned the importance of staying in touch with people with whom I disagree. And this was one that I taught myself really early on, and then also one that I have, also a skill that I have worked on over the past 7 years. Because when I was little, it went in one direction. Like, we had a few teenagers who left the church over the years, and they would always end up on, and I think I've talked about this, they've always end up on this, like, not a literal list, but a list that always got brought up in youth group of, like, don't be like this person or this person or this person who backslid and left the church and abandoned God. And that never sat right with me. So as soon as Facebook became a thing and I was on it, I found those people and I reached out to them and I wanted them to know that I still loved them and I still valued them and I was praying for them. Now, at that time, I wish I could say that my motives were pure, but I don't know that they were. I think they were, like, pretty good. I don't think I was, like, trying to convert anybody back to the Lord, but, like, still probably a little bit. But I kept in touch with those people, and they have let me know over the years that they really appreciated it, and it made them feel seen and cared for. And that makes me really happy, because that's what I really wanted. And now I do the same thing, but in the other direction. Like, I will occasionally receive texts from some people from my parents' church. And I know that when they text me, all of them are waiting for me to inform them that now is the time God has officially made me miserable in order to bring me back into the fold. I know that's what they're waiting for. And I know they're not going to get it. But even still, I always respond. And I try to be as gracious as possible, and I let them know that I miss them and that I love them, because I do. And I don't know that if I didn't grow up in such a cut and dry community where it's either you're either with us or you're against us type of attitude, I don't know that I would have really fostered my care for people who didn't fit, who got either kicked out or driven out or felt like they didn't belong anymore, whatever the case might be. Had I not grown up in that environment, I don't think I would have fostered that as much as I have. And that is one of my favorite traits about myself. So I wouldn't want that to go anywhere. And that's been really, really important to me. I was also really taught the value of engaging deeply with your community and really giving it 100%, because in fundamentalism, there's no option. Like, if you're there, you're there. 3 times a week at least, usually more, going to every activity, you're there when the doors are open. And I really, really appreciated that, because it taught me discipline and it taught me a willingness to really commit to what I love, because it was never a chore. Like, I love going to church. I still do. I cannot wait until I get to actually go into a physical church again. And I know that would not have happened if I had not grown up in fundamentalism, because I just know as myself, I don't like having standing, like, commitments to things. I like having standing commitments with people a lot, and I love routines, but if there's something that, like, I have to do every week or, like, multiple times a week, I really struggle with it, except for church. Church has been the thing that I'm like, I don't feel like I feel like I'm missing something if I'm not going to church. And it's not out of, like, a guilt or I should go to church. It's always because I want to. Those are my people, and I want to be there. And that hasn't gone away, and I really, really like that. And that comes from having church be, and yes, there were some really problematic parts about this, but, like, that comes from church being where my friends are, where my family is, where I find connection, where I find meaning, where I get to study the Bible and learn about God and all of those things, and also sing, and, like, I love singing, so that's really important to me. That was the place for all of that. And that is stuck. That, like, that's where I feel most at home is in church. And that means the world to me. So I know that was only, like, 4 things, but I just think that it's really important to sometimes, even as we're trying to fight against something that we find really, really unjust and dangerous, to also remember that nothing is as clear-cut as we think it is. And I never want it to come across like I am bitter or I'm angry. And sometimes I am angry. And I think that I can be both. I can be both really, really grateful for the good things and really, really angry about the bad. I think I'm allowed to do both. And I am. A lot of days, I am both angry and grateful. But today, I wanted to focus a little bit more on the grateful, because I never want to build this sort of, like, monolithic villain of fundamentalism, because then there's nothing redeemable in the broadest sense, because, again, I do not think that fundamentalism can be redeemed. But I think that there is something redeemable about some of the experiences, because I think that having this passion that I do for the Bible and for my relationship with God and for community and for all of those things, I think that that's fantastic. And I'm really, really grateful to have been raised with that. And I wouldn't change that for the world. And I know that I would not have such a interest in talking about and fighting for and researching for people who the fundamentalists and in general conservative Christians who have kicked out. I would not have that passion had I not grown up in an extremely exclusive church environment. That wouldn't have happened. If I had grown up in a "we accept everyone as you are and actually mean it" church, I don't know what I would be doing right now. Because my calling came out of being told that I was loved unconditionally and then finding out that that wasn't exactly true. So I don't know where I would be. Now, does that mean that, like, they were doing the Lord's work? Absolutely not. But I do know that those experiences have shaped me, and I'm grateful for who I am now, even if the way I got here was pretty traumatic and requires a lot of therapy. Yeah, that's about the gist of it. So, thank you for listening. I hope that you've enjoyed it. I hope that this has helped a little. I don't know if anybody from Southside listens to this, but if you do, please hear this as a "I don't hate you." Please hear this as a "I don't think you are everything that is wrong with the world." I'm not bitter against you for the way, if you are older than me and you took part in raising me, I'm not angry with you for that. If you're the same age as me and we either do talk or don't talk, please know that, like, it's not because I think that I'm better than you or anything like that. And if you're younger than me and you grew up as, I don't know, one of my little buddies in church, I'm not some backslidden, devil-worshipping person. I still love the Lord, and I still study the Bible, and I'm still thankful for all of those things, and I'm still studying. But I'm doing so with more of a heart of compassion than I had before, and I hope that one day you'll take some time and think about it for yourself. And I don't know what conclusions you'll come to. Maybe you'll come to the same ones as me, and maybe you won't, but I hope you do anyway. Hope you give it a shot. That's all I have for you today. So thank you for listening. I hope it has been helpful for somebody, and if not helpful, then at least interesting. And that's about all. So my name's Mac, and this has been Master of a Few. Have a brilliant day. Bye.